Primary Care Knowledge Boost, GP Partner, and other ways of working.
Hello and welcome to Primary Care Knowledge Boost. We hope you're all keeping very well. Today we're talking to GPs Dr. Joanna Bircher, who people might recognise from other episodes, Dr. Lucy Spurrell and Dr. Daria Rydell about their experiences in different roles of general practice. So we're mainly coming at this from a partnership slant, but I'll be representing salaried GPs and Daria's representing sort of his experiences as a locum as well. And then Lucy and Joanna are going to talk more about partnership. The aim of the episode really is for GPs or GP trainees listening to get a flavour of their experiences and some of the pros and cons and challenges that they've come up against in their experiences. The topic really was suggested by Joanna. She is quite passionate about the partnership model and wanted an opportunity to discuss why she really likes it, and it is a really important time in general practice at the moment to talk about this model, I think, of care. Definitely got me thinking, and I've really enjoyed some of the after discussions that we've had about it, as well as some of the links that we will link to from GP Online that cover much more of the politics of general practice, which is very interesting at the moment. To caveat, we did record this episode in late March, so just bear that in mind when you're listening to the discussion.
Yes, exactly. We do, as Sarah said, we cover the advantages and disadvantages of each of the different roles that you could take on within general practice, to try and give a bit of a balanced view about the situation. I will say that the episode is maybe a little bit positive in terms of its nature. And when we were speaking off mic afterwards, there was some interesting chat that Sarah and I will bring up on our learning points at the end.
Yeah, for everyone listening, we hope you're taking care of yourselves and enjoy the episode.
Hello, I'm Daria Rydell. I'm a GP in Manchester, currently portfolio GP, working as a locum and with a few roles in medical education.
I'm Lucy Spurrell. I'm currently a GP partner in Salford and I'm a GP trainer, but I think those are my hats at the moment.
Hi, I'm Joanna Bircher. I've been on the podcast before, so hello to everyone that's heard my ramblings in the past. I'm a GP partner at Lockside Medical Centre in Stalybridge Park, Greater Manchester, where I've been for about 25 years. And I'm also the clinical director of the Greater Manchester GP Excellence Programme.
Lovely. And it was your idea for the episode.
It was.
Yes. Can you tell us why?
I was kind of becoming aware that there seems to be a move away from GP partnership, and I think there's place in this world for delivering general practice in a whole range of different models, but one of the really important ones that I feel works really well is the GP partnership model. So I got a sense that maybe the message about what the advantages or what opportunities it presents itself wasn't kind of getting through to our newly qualified GPs coming through the system. So I thought it'd be really nice to use this opportunity to talk about that.
And why is it something that you've built up a passion for?
I guess I've been no GP partner, as I say, for 25 years. So you look back and you realise what you have managed to achieve that you may not have done if you had been working for another organisation in a salaried role. There's something about that sense of ownership of not just a building, but a whole service that you're delivering that makes you feel, I guess, responsible and accountable, which is potentially a bit scary, but also in control of, to a certain extent, in fact, to a very large extent, in terms of how you decide to run it, how you set your organisational culture. You can see how things have moved through those decades and what you've put into it. So there's a huge sense of reward in terms of the service that you develop if you've been a partner in that business, in that service.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And hopefully the listeners will have kind of gathered the fact that we've got representation from a lot of different roles on the podcast episode today, just to get a bit of a balanced view about the different options within general practice. But we thought we'd start with you, Lucy, if that's okay, and find out a little bit about your experience now as a partner, but I understand that you've been salaried before, and kind of what you think about the difference.
So I qualified and I basically went straight into a salaried post because I mean, Dario can tell you how Heza does it, but the thought of having to locum and be in a different practice every day just horrified me. I like having a patch. I like having my patients and my areas of responsibility. So I did do a salary job for a couple of years, and I learned an awful lot about general practice, because it's always that thing, isn't it, when you're a trainee, that you learn the gold standard of how to be a GP and you pass your exams, and then you go to the real world where you really learn how to do general practice. And so I think I'd done that for a while. I was really enjoying it. And then I started wanting to do more. So I was really interested in change, basically, quality improvement. I was looking, going, that there's better ways of doing things, that, all right, maybe not every consultation is going to be gold standard, but we could do more of that. How can we get this working? I think that was the point, actually, where I made you go for coffee with me, Joanna.
Okay, yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, where I was like, how can I do this? I want to do all of these things. And that's when I changed practice, because I was like, I need a practice that's going to let me do all these things. And I have had the feedback before that I am a control freak, but I had a teacher who told me once that I relish responsibility. So I'm saying that's it. I relish responsibility. And so then I ended up being offered the partnership role. And it's just you've got so much more potential to do things. It's not just turn up, do your clinic, do your paperwork, go home. And I appreciate in salary that you do have scope to do quality improvement and to, you know, bring up a practice meeting, go, I think we should be doing more of this or whatever. It's a partnership. You see the whole picture. You get a little bit more involved in kind of the local politics and the local care that's going on. And you can kind of see the possibilities, and you know your local population. So, you know, I've got quite a big Jewish population, and we do adapt to that. We do go, right, well, we know the holy holidays are this time of year, so we're going to change our service to match that. We know that there's an awful lot of patients that have more genetic disorders just because of the nature, and so we really push our breast screening because we know that's really important in this population. And I like that we can do all those things, and I can be part of that decision making. So I hope I made it sound like I'm not a control freak. I just really want to do really good patient care. That was my motivation.
Amazing.
I think you spoke very well to that, Lucy. Thank you. And I guess it's important to talk about what might the difficult parts of being a partner be. What do you see as having been a change kind of in that realm from moving from salaried to partner?
I will say it was switching to partner was one of the biggest learning curves of my life. I naively or arrogantly, whichever, really thought I knew more about what it was to be a partner than I did. Because I think in my head, I was kind of like, I'll be a salaried, but I'll just get to make more decisions. And actually, it really was kind of changing a whole frame of mind, because suddenly I'm not just thinking about what the GPs are doing. I'm thinking about what my pharmacist is doing, what my mental health practitioner, what my nurse is doing, what my admin staff are doing, because obviously they play a huge part. They all tend to live locally, so they're also part of the local community. And suddenly I'm thinking, oh, this is like three-dimensional chess now. I've got to think about all those things. So I think having to reframe my mindset to think about it's not just GP. And I think that's one of the things I've really appreciated about being a partner, that it is teamwork. I always knew it was teamwork, but it is really satisfying teamwork that I really enjoy, that I get to work with all these different people who do bring these really interesting perspectives. Like I know my nurses don't think about things the way I do. So I love it when they come to me and go, well, I was going to do this with that patient. And I go, oh, yeah, you do that. I would have said that too, definitely. And I'm learning from all of them all the time. So I think that's been a big thing. I know you said about the disadvantages. I'm going to be honest, the business side of things. I didn't become a partner for the money. It's nice that you have potential to earn more than you do as a salaried. But I think if I actually did my job for money, I would probably do something else. Yeah. Money was my motivation, because the amount of hoops and hurdles and paperwork and sometimes what seems like quite pointless checkboxes that you've got to tick to do it all, that is the biggest frustration. And it's I mean, now there's all the PCN stuff, which adds an extra level of complexity. And that is the stuff that I enjoy thinking about least, but I kind of have to. Yeah. So I think that's it. Also, the other weird thing is probably being management level. Like the first time somebody came to me and was like, Lucy, I've got this problem. And I was like, oh, and it's my responsibility to help you fix it. ooh, how do we make a decision about this? That one was a bit scary, but now I really enjoy it. I really enjoy being the one that everybody comes to and goes, Lucy, this is going on. What do you think we should do? And I can do my, oh, well, what do you think we should do? Yes, that sounds great. You do that. So I do enjoy that. That was definitely a learning curve to kind of realize, oh my God, I go home and I'm still in charge of all of this. That was definitely something.
Yeah, that's completely fair. And you've covered some really lovely advantages there, as you've talked as well about being a partner. Have you got any other advantages that you want to kind of throw into the ring?
I think the flexibility of working. I mean, obviously, there's still things that you have to do, but I think that, you know, it's, I can have my standard clinic. I'm a GP trainer as well, so that I can make the decision to how I'm going to supervise my trainees. That, you know, if I have a, you know, it's part of practice management that if I do go to like a local conference about what the local services are and kind of touch base with the GPs, I can decide to do all of that. That I can go to my deputy practice manager who loves me and doesn't at all hate when I do this and go, I want to start my clinic an hour later. Let's just push all the patients a little bit later and I'm going to rearrange all my day and because I want to go to this meeting in the morning and all the rest of it. That I can do that. I don't have to go and ask anyone for permission. I enjoy having that control over my diary and what to do. Definitely.
I can understand the benefits of that, actually.
Amazing. So, yeah, let's go to you, Dario. Yeah, so can you tell us a bit about what roles you've had in general practice and your mainly focusing on your locum roles and how you found them?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I'm probably the person around the table who qualified as a GP the latest. So I've been a GP for 2 years now, and I mainly locum. I have a portfolio role, and for me, locuming is the way to be able to actually do what I like in that portfolio and to give me that flexibility. So when I first qualified, I did toy around with a salaried role and found that actually that flexibility of the role wasn't there for me. And what I really wanted out of my job and out of my career as a GP wasn't clear. I wanted to explore that more, and being a locum for me really, really helped, because again, quite like what Lucy was saying, you do have that flexibility there. It's flexibility in a different way, but it is still there, and it means that I can do a lot of opportunities that I don't think I would normally have been able to do. So in terms of my roles, I've been lucky enough to have long-term locums, so whether that's covering maternity, whether that's covering a gap whilst practices are recruiting. And I quite like that because you get all that general practice that you don't normally associate with being a locum. So that continuity of care with patients, getting to know them, getting to have those relationships with them. And for me as well, as someone who's quite extroverted and who likes really speaking to people and getting to know a wide variety of people, both patients and also staff as well, being a locum also really helps with that. I've met lots of practices, lots of partners. So
he worked at my practice, and I can vouch for this. My salaried and my admin staff still sigh and go, oh, Dario, I miss you, Dario.
Which I think is really nice. I quite like that I've been able to make that impact. And that's what I want. That's what I want. One of my core values, just as a person in general, is to make sure the people around me, the people that I'm working with, are having as good time as possible as well, despite the challenges that obviously we're all aware of in primary care at the minute.
That's hugely important for morale. That makes a huge difference to the day-to-day working and everyone's feeling of how a day is going. Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, I think we need to put patients at the heart of everything that we do, but if we don't look after ourselves and the people around us and our colleagues, then that just makes it 10 times more difficult. So I think, you know, if I can just make someone a cup of tea, even as a locum, if I can make someone a cup of tea, and that just brightens up the day and motivates them a bit more, then yes.
So that's a few advantages there. What about sort of disadvantages of locuming? What have you found?
So for me, with all of this added flexibility, there are still a lot of things that you have to bear in mind. So I think the biggest thing that people tend to think about when they want to become a locum or they're considering locum is that you might have the capacity to maybe earn a little bit more compared to a salaried. But the sort of disadvantage of that is a lot of that stability is gone. So, you know, even when you're locuming long term, you don't know always how long term is. Practices can change their dynamic. As you say, with all the PCN stuff, with the new GP contract at the minute, there's going to be a lot of changes, I imagine, to primary care in the next year or so, probably even sooner than that. And so you have to think about things like, you know, sick pay, maternity pay. You don't get that holiday pay, annual leave. You don't get any of that. You have to factor that in. If you're not working, you're not going to be paid for it. That said, again, there's the other sort of things away from the financial aspects of it are there's still a lot of admin to do. You know, I'm currently at the minute, as we're recording this, I'm in the middle of trying to sort out my pension with PCSE. And when you work in one practice, it can be quite challenging. When you've worked in about 10, 15, 20 practices over a year, that coordination that you need. Yes. And my other half, he's very much, he doesn't work in medicine. He's not a doctor. He can shut off at the end of his day. He'll often find me on a Saturday morning on my computer with a cup of tea, just going through some emails and
mopping
things.
Up.
Yes, absolutely. All the things that you don't always have time for during the week. And that admin burden can be quite heavy as a locum, you know, not just pensions, but you know, invoices, emails, letters. I'm going to play this as a disadvantage, but personally, I think this is an advantage. But you know, keeping in contact with the practice that you've been at as well, not just the ones that you're working at. For me, for a lot of people, as a disadvantage because it takes a lot of time. Say, I quite like it. I quite like reaching out. I quite like speaking to people, meeting up with people. I know I come back to Newbury where Lucy works. I pop round to Lockside when I can as well, where Joanna works, and I very much enjoy it, and I hope they enjoy me being there. But yes, I think they're the main disadvantages that I can...
There have to have been some awful practices, though, that you, well, not awful practices, but challenging experiences that you've locumed at. And I guess because you're professional, you would still commit. Because that was what I always dreaded about being a locum. What if I turn up and they're unfriendly and they're unhelpful and it's just a horrible shift?
Yes, absolutely. And that has happened a few times. And I guess the beauty of that is... Once you get through the day, you don't have to go back there again. But yes, there has been some more challenging days. In particular, when I first started locuming, I didn't quite appreciate how to set boundaries and how to set terms and contracts and things like that. So there was one practice I went to that gave 20 patients a session, which I wasn't expecting.
Oh, God.
I, in my training... They were sort of gearing towards 15-minute, 10-minute appointments. So I'd have an average 24 to about 28 patients a day, maybe with a visit. And increasing that to 40 a day was quite challenging. I did leave quite late that day. But again, it's all a learning experience. I learned from it. It meant that in the future, you know, I updated my terms. I was able to sort of push through it. But and at the time as well, I remember one of the, I think it was the deputy practice manager came up to me and was very much like, oh, thank you for coming in. You know, they gave me a cup of tea. It was all very, very lovely. And I think, you know, they didn't quite understand about the sort of boundaries of being a locum GP either, because one of the first things she said was, you know, we don't really get many locum GPs accepting our adverts, or they don't tend to come back. Can you think of why? And again, I quite like QI. I quite like sort of like management and leadership stuff, which again is one of the disadvantages of being a locum, because you can't really get involved with that quite as much. But I sort of said to her, well, you know, maybe some of the workload, maybe some of the expectations. I mean, everyone's been lovely. The reception staff were lovely. You're here making me a cup of tea. It's like, but, you know, do you know sort of the sort of workload or the average workload, what people expect? She was like, well, no, not really. It's been a while. They weren't a training practice. And again, on the back of that, they, as far as I'm aware, they did change, which was really nice. And yeah, but at the time, it was very much a challenge.
Yeah.
It feels like, yeah, definitely my experiences of locuming were, you fresh out of training where you were used to gold standard practice, and then suddenly being absolutely opposite end of that, being like, can I leave this building before they lock up? And yeah, I think being a group that's aware of your limits, aware of your boundaries, and aware of trying to sort of say what's acceptable practices and not is so important when you're locuming. So there's a lot of kind of upskilling of just of navigating that kind of dynamic, because there are definitely practices that seem to take advantage, meaning to or not. It is like very, very difficult, especially when you're new.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure people tell you, I am I'm an ever optimist.
Yeah, the way you're talking. I'm thinking about some of my awful experience and thinking, oh, that I would not be as positive as that.
Oh, no. I'm very much like, if something bad happens, I my assumption is that bad thing wasn't meant to happen or people haven't done it on purpose. So
yeah.
So with this practice, I was very much like, I bet they just don't know. Or maybe they're just not aware.
Yeah.
It wasn't, they're doing this on purpose. They're trying to take advantage. And
yeah, it's a really good way of being, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I think we thought we'd come to you, Sarah, as the resident salaried GP currently around the table. Do you have any thoughts about advantages and disadvantages of being salaried?
Yeah, I think when I was reflecting on what Lucy was saying with her love of control and her love of responsibility, I think was the nicer phrase of it. Probably for me, I've enjoyed the opposite. I definitely had a fear of what am I going into and just kind of getting a feel for it. Am I going to be able to swim in this choppy water? And I think there was just an element of this felt like the most stable of the options, but first of all, so that I could just get my feet under the table a little bit, have a regular income. If I needed annual leave, I could get annual leave. I could build up those relationships and have stability. And yeah, the idea of locuming, I really liked. I'd like, oh, I'd love to just see which practice has got the best dynamics, but not that many practices will have many locum shifts. So it was quite hard to tell. And ones with good reputations, they weren't having any locums and things like that, so it's like, okay, but then it depends where you work for that, really. I think sometimes you can locum and try somewhere out, and then yeah, I've enjoyed being a salary. I've really liked to get to know my patients and my practice and the continuity of care that happens with it. So it's been an extremely positive experience, and they've really supported me when I've had wobbles. So yeah, it's been good. It's been flexible in my practice, really flexible. It's definitely variable. I think everyone's experiences of being a salaried, talking to my other friends who are salaried, they have had experiences of us versus them with the partners and the salaried. So the salaried get a lot more of the workload, a lot more visits, a lot more admin, a lot more patients, and a lot less flexibility. And perhaps some of their portfolio needs or portfolio ideas or being a trainer or things like that have been pushed to the back to just provide the day-to-day running of the practice. So that's definitely some of the disadvantages, but we can move on to more if you want.
No, I think that's fair, Sarah. It's nice to get your perspective as well on how it feels to work as a salaried GP coming out of training.
Now that it's been 5 years, I think it's still a really good job, but there is a bit of me that wishes that I just feel like it hasn't, that there's still a bit more left, and that actually understanding the way the practice works and serving your population and being involved.
You know what I'm going to say? Partnership, Sarah. Partnership. It's calling you. I'm just saying.
I'm definitely interested. I think when we were talking about it, when we were all trainees and sort of coming out, the idea of kind of going, having a chat and then going, oh, can I look at your books? And then understanding what on earth any of that would mean, or just what are you signing up for? Or the foibles of it felt like a marriage. It just feels like a marriage, and I think sometimes it can be several years into that marriage before you go, oh, I've married somebody completely different. So there was bits like that. There was lots of sort of negative stories that put me off, I think, because it's finding the right place and the right fit and things.
Yeah, I think that is absolutely crucial. It's about fit, isn't it? About organisational culture, attitudes, values to money versus how much you value patient care. But actually, because if you become a partner, then you get a chance to actually impact on that too, depending on whether the personality of the existing partners allows you in on that. When you know, you can influence culture in a way you perhaps can't as a salaried GP. But I think you're absolutely right. It is like a marriage. So yeah, don't go into it lightly.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess thinking about it, with me thinking of partnership, or if anyone's listening and they are interested, to the partners in the room, so Lucy and Joanna, what would be your advice to people who are thinking about partnership?
I think importantly, find out whether you feel it's a good fit for you, and that might be quite difficult without working within that place. To know that if you have an opportunity to do some salaried work for them or locum work for them first, that's, I think, a good thing. Or if you've trained there and you usually understand it. I think what Lucy was saying about the responsibility side of things is true. And all of a sudden, you, if you do decide to go down that route, you will be responsible for all sorts of awkward things, difficult conversations, being responsible for your staff well-being, happiness, their income, and despite the fact you might have a reduced source of income from the practices, or could feel like a burden, but that you're not on your own. So it just makes sure that you feel you can really gel and communicate well with your other partner, so you can have a, you've got pull in that support and that help, so that you're all working on those difficult things together. Mm-hmm. So yeah, check it's a good team, check what the organizational culture is like.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think all the stuff about it being a marriage, 100%, definitely. I think I can't imagine wanting to take on a partnership at a practice I'd never worked at. I know it does happen from time to time, but even as a salaried, I think you don't see the full picture and the behind the scenes conversations in the same way. For my practice, before I became a partner, because I think that thing you were just saying about a partnership that is welcoming to you and is open to you having that impact and that change, I think that's a huge thing, because my partnership is, it's all been in a bit of a period of change, because the previous partners, they were all due to retire. That we had three partners retire over the space of about 3 years. So when I went, and when I was thinking, they'd said to me, are you thinking about partnership? They let me come to some of the partnership meetings. And obviously I was just salaried at that point, but then it gave me a bit of insight of, well, how do the dynamics work? How do they talk to each other? How do they decide me things? And also, were they interested in my opinions and my thoughts? And you know, when I was kind of going, could we be doing this? Do you not think maybe we should be asking this question or whatever? They were like, oh, yeah, okay, fine. And I think that looking at who you are in partnership with, I think Dario's thing about looking after each other, that's huge in general practice. We do sit in our rooms alone sometimes. And, you know, when it's been a really intense day, like Dario was a godsend when he was doing his locum, because sometimes I'd have been in my room from like 8 o'clock in the morning and it'd be like 20 past six, had not had a cup of tea all day. And then Dario would be like, do you want a cup of tea, Lucy? And I'd be like, yes, and a hug, please. Could we do that? But I think that that's work, that culture, to maintain it. So we've instituted like weekly coffee breaks, and that's such a weird thing to decide to go in partnership over it. But it was great that I could say to them before I was even a partner, kind of, I want to see all of you more. I want us to talk to each other more. Could we block this off and have this in? And they were like, oh yeah, that sounds good. Let's do that. So I think that was a big reason to do it. I do think, so I think knowing the culture, absolutely, getting a sense of do you share a mindset? I don't think you all have to have the exact same mindset. I think actually there is a real value to having partners that don't think the same way I do, because they'll say something and I'll go, oh, yeah, no, I'd never thought of it from that perspective. Okay, yeah, completely. We've got a whole view now. So I don't think you all have to think exactly the same. I don't think you all necessarily have to have exactly the same values, I guess. I think you have to have enough that it works, because absolutely, patient care for me is my big motivator and the thing that I really enjoy. But having another partner who's got their eye on the money is really helpful. Yeah. It's good that actually there are people keeping their eye on the bottom line and stuff, because then you all have your own strengths and it all plays into it. I think money-wise, I didn't understand any of it. I don't know if you've got better advice, Joanna, because I kind of, one of the partners was kind enough to show me the accounts, and I looked at it and was like, well, the balance at the end of the year was positive, so it must be good. I'll go for it. But I have been informed since then that there are other ways of doing this, and you can take the accounts to accountants and who can advise you on whether the business is in good standing.
Probably is sensible to put yourself in with a medical accountant who understands the way the accounts are.
Yeah.
So that at least you know whether you're entering something that's kind of long-term viable, whether there's any particular trouble areas that you need to be aware of.
Yeah. I'd say more so in the climate now at the moment with some of the contract changes.
Yeah.
And there may be some complicated stuff about building ownership, depending on whether you're in an owner-occupied building.
Yes.
It's really good to have an understanding of what the expectations of the partners are in terms of kind of buy-in processes.
Also, just as you were talking about kind of the terms and conditions and things, I do think probably now, not so much when I became a partner, and obviously not when you became a partner, but I think PCNs and where your practice, what your practice piece, the local PCN is like, and what your practice's involvement is, and all of those things, I think maybe is going to become more important, because obviously primary care is in a really, it's a really interesting time to be a GP at the moment, because the role feels like it's evolving and maybe partnerships are going to evolve too. So kind of knowing where your partnership is, and are they kind of looking at which way the wind is blowing? Are they prepared to adapt, and are they working with the PCNs, or are they not? Have they taken a different view? I think all of those things are probably interested, just to make sure you are going to be comfortable with whatever happens as a result.
And then, have you guys got any advice about resources to use for if people are interested in looking at partnership or other, or just other roles?
Well, I've got to declare a huge interest here, because leadership in primary care is a thing that I'm particularly interested in, and wrote a book about it. So I think if you're going to embark on a partnership role, it's definitely a leadership role. I mean, my take is that so many roles we play within primary care, regardless of what labels we've got, are also leadership roles, and there's an opportunity there for everyone. But certainly if you're going in to become a partner in a practice, you will definitely be having a role. So yeah, obviously I'm going to plug that one.
That's a really good resource. Yeah.
I've got two things that I didn't listen to before I became a partner. As Sarah is aware, I am mildly obsessed with podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts. The Medics Money podcast, because they talk an awful lot about GP money and how it works. There is a whole, this is the other thing about partnership. If you did decide to go for it, there are various new to partnership courses that you can go on. They used to be funded. I think maybe the funding has just stopped for that, but don't quote me on it. So it's worth looking into. And the other thing is the GP Online podcast. It doesn't talk so necessarily specifically about partnership, but it talks a lot about GP politics. And I think that's something you have to be aware of as a partner, because obviously, like, what gets funded, that affects your practice. Well, what the conversations are having at a national level, that will impact it. So I found that's really quite interesting to listen to. So those are my resources.
Amazing.
Yeah, those are brill. Thank you. And then I guess finally, if we go around the table, it'd be nice to hear your take-home points from today's chat.
I guess my take-home point would be that think about what you want from your life and your career, and then build the sort of job around that. As we've mentioned, there are some people that relish in the responsibility and would like that. There are other people that would prefer someone else does that while they just can get on with the job. And, you know, I think there's a place for partners, locums and salaries in the GP ecosystem. And I think it should be, yeah, I think we should be a cohesive team rather than what sometimes happens.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, Dario, that it's all team effort. We don't necessarily all have to be partners. I obviously relish responsibility. So I think I would say, if anybody thinking partnership, talk to a lot of partners and talk to a lot of partners in a lot of different practices, because they are so different cultures, such different ways of approaching it. So don't think just because you're in a practice where you think, oh, I wouldn't want to be a partner here. You might want to be a partner somewhere else, that's all. And I think absolutely listen to the podcast, be interested in it, and just be somebody who really enjoys the responsibility and the working hard, because it's good, it's satisfying work.
Yeah, I loved some of Dario's descriptions about how to get the best out of your locum day. And it sounded very much like you kind of get out what you put in, to a certain extent. I think that's true in a lot of the roles. I think if you're feeling stuck where you are, you don't have to stay. And that's regard, even though we've talked about partnership as being a marriage, you know, divorce is possible. Yeah. And there might be another partnership that's better for you. Similarly, if you feel like you're in a bit of a rut in your salaried job, then you can look around. So just find out what's the best fit for you.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I'd reiterate that. I think it's the most useful things I found are getting the sort of hive mind opinions of different places and different areas, and making sure that you look after yourself and don't stick in jobs that might not be the right ones for you. Yeah, go for it. Change is possible and often quite good and positive.
Lovely. Oh, thank you so much, guys. This was a really nice chat. I really enjoyed it.
So Lisa, it's the next day after we've recorded. It was really lovely seeing them all. What are your learning points from the episode?
I think it was really nice for me as an episode, to be fair, to be almost now an independent party in the room, as it were. I didn't really have an investment in any of the roles, so it was just really interesting to hear everybody's perspective about why they liked the work that they were doing. I think that the points that were made at the end about doing what's right for you are the most important and are really strong, because each of those roles wouldn't suit necessarily the other people even just sat around the table. So I think that was really important to highlight and cover.
The other thing was that we did reflect at the end of the episode that there maybe was quite a lot of positivity within it. And actually within general practice at the minute, there isn't necessarily that level of positivity. It's quite a stressful and horrible time, and the staffing and availability of jobs is very different now even to just a few months ago, and that will obviously impact what is available for people to be able to apply for regardless of what they want to do. So I think it's probably just important to say that now in the episode and acknowledge that that is the landscape that we're working in.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was interesting to talk off mic about some of the politics, but really important to talk on mic about some of these things. And like I said in the intro, when Lucy had talked about how she listens to GP Online, and I just went back and listened to a really interesting episode about some of the contract changes and the positivity around partnership model. And it actually really got me thinking. I think this whole episode has been sort of coming at it from a more junior perspective, though I'm barely able to claim that anymore. I think just stepping up to the plate as much as I possibly could, or if there is that opportunity, it still comes with pros and cons as it always did. And it's a really tough time at the moment with some of the funding issues that general practice is having. But I guess it's that whole thing of the more that we can control and the more that we can be invested, if we've got the energy and it suits us, I think the better, because GPs have been able to make general practice work really well, and being at the driving seat has been phenomenally helpful, and everyone's done such an incredible job in such difficult circumstances. I guess it's a mixed point about feeling empowered and wanting to take control and realizing the importance of taking control, whilst equally recognizing that that's not that easy at the moment, and not everyone's in that position to do it, and it's not right for everyone.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really nice point. And I think generally the feeling from the episode is that, you know, anyone can be a partner if they want to be. And I think that I did think that really came across as a good point of the episode, to not be frightened of it, and that there are really good advantages of it, and some help and advice about where to go if you want to. So I think that was useful as well.
It's also lovely to showcase different, just incredible people working in the NHS. Like these guys are so passionate, and there's so many of those people out there that are driven and enthusiastic despite the circumstances. And I just think that's a wonderful thing to showcase as well.
And yeah, I guess thank you for making it this far. Thank you for listening to the episode. If you want to get in touch, as always, we'll leave the links in the episode description. It's lovely to hear from you. We really have been enjoying the positive and lovely emails that have been coming through that kind of tell us about the impact that the podcast has had on your working lives. And it honestly just makes our absolute day, week, month, year to hear that it's making such a difference. So if you've got any feedback, please do let us know.
Till next time.
I'm Primary Care Knowledge Boost.
This podcast has been able to continue to date due to the support of GP Excellence, Greater Manchester Integrated Care, and the Greater Manchester Training Hub.
Just a friendly reminder that these podcasts are for healthcare professional education and shouldn't be used for medical advice by the general public.
This episode was recorded in Greater Manchester in 2024. Guidelines can vary by location as well as over time, so always check for up-to-date local and national guidelines before making treatment decisions.
The content is based on our interviewees' opinion and interpretation of current best practice. It's your responsibility to use your clinical judgment before applying or relying on information solely from this podcast.
Check out the episode description for full details and any links we may have mentioned in the episode.